Hi, I'm Rich Bowen, and this is The Voice of Apache. A couple of weeks ago, I attended Cassandra Summit, which was co-located with the AI.dev event in San Jose, California. And I had the opportunity to talk with a number of people from the Cassandra project, some of them on the PMC, others in different roles in the project. And this is the first of those interviews.
So we are here at Cassandra Summit in San Jose, California. And I have the privilege of speaking with Aaron Plutz.
Hello.
What is the correct O in your...
Oh, it's just Plutz.
Plutz,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to pretend like the O's not there.
All right. So, all right.
Yeah, but it was close. I'll give you that. Believe me, I've heard... Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm Rich Bowen. So the Cassandra project has been around for a really long time. Do you know about how long? It's almost 20 years old, isn't
like,
it?
Well, I thought it was like 2008.
2008, right? Okay.
At Facebook? I think so, that was the origin of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe seven. I mean, it's getting close to that, yeah.
Yeah. And we're coming up on a... exciting new release, the 5.0 release. So
that's
we've got,
right.
got a
that's
number
right.
of things to talk about. But one of the things that Aaron said that he would talk about is some of the ways that Cassandra actually gets used. And those of you that have been watching my videos for a long time know that the question I always ask is, what do people use it for? Because technology is boring. What's interesting is what people do with it.
That's right.
So, tell me some stories.
Well, I suppose probably the most interesting use cases that I've worked on before have been mostly retail based.
Okay.
When I started using Cassandra in, I think it was like 2012, I was at W.W. Grainger in mm-hmm. Chicago, you know, industrial supplier. And, you know, we used it to back, like, their phone app's notification system.
Okay.
So you'd have... you know, like we'd want to let somebody know that like an order's ready, or you know, some kind of status change like that. You'd see quite a bit, and then that would end up in Cassandra. Funny enough, we actually had a profanity system that would kind of double check you know, any product reviews that we had on our site,
yeah.
To make sure that there weren't any, you know, any naughty words in there or anything like that, or you know, kind of like George Carlin's, you know, seven
yeah.
words you can't say on television. But I can tell you there were far more than seven. we had like 200 entries in the Cassandra profanity database. So yeah, that was one of the more interesting ones for sure. I also had you know, about 6 years at Target, you know, working with a bunch of different teams on Cassandra over there as well. It backs so many systems for Target.com, like I mean, pricing, product, the personalization
mm-hmm.
system. Probably my favorite story of all does come from Target, where we were building out Drive Up. So if you ever, you know, like gone to Target and said, "Hey, I want a Drive Up app or Drive Up order,"
yeah,
you know, you'll pull up into the little stall and you'll tell them which number you're in, and then they'll kind of put your order together and then cart it out and, you know, put it in your car for you. Well, the original implementation of that. So, you know, Target is based in Minneapolis, so a lot of times when something new comes out, they'll kind of preview it in some of the surrounding stores.
Okay.
So when we first started building this, we had Drive Up. We were just doing it in four stores, you know, of like the 2,000 or so that Target has. It was just four. And the plan was do this for a little while, see how it goes, you know, improve on some things, of course, and then expand it to, you know, 50 stores, you know, just in like the, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. And I remember telling the drive-up team, I'm like, "Hey, before you go to 50 stores, let me know, okay? Because this is just a little three-node cluster. Make sure you let me know." So long story short, my wife and I are out driving on Saturday, and we're on the interstate, and I pass this giant billboard, and I'm like, oh, Target, oh, what are you talking about? Drive up at Target, now available at 50 stores throughout the metro. And I kind of went, huh. And my wife's like, well, why? What's going on? I'm like, they were supposed to tell me before they did that. So yeah, I got home and then, you know, got on my laptop and double checked, and that cluster was okay, and we did scale it out on Monday, but that was one of the funnier stories I have about a real app built on Cassandra. That's great.
Now, as the community works towards a new release, mm-hmm. To what extent is that driven by the customer use cases as opposed to sort of the technological view of the leadership?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, you know, I know that the actual users of Cassandra used to be, in my opinion, more active. You know, kind of in the earlier days, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you know, which. Yeah. features we need and things like that. Lately, not so much. You know, lately it's, you know, a lot around, you know, folks from Apple and Netflix, etc., kind of driving a lot of that. But, you know, I really do think, though, that a lot of those implementations, you know, that you see at big places like Netflix, for instance, I know that Chang and Jordan over at Netflix have worked on a whole bunch of, like, new tools around managing like the underlying storage layer with Cassandra. And the thing is that if we didn't have them doing that work, if Netflix, you know, wasn't operating Cassandra at such a scale, we wouldn't have this feature now, these extra features, these extra tools for everyone else to use. So that's one way in which yeah, you know, customer use cases absolutely do kind of still today, you yeah. know, drive a lot of good development in Cassandra.
Yeah. So you've been with the project for over 10 years.
That's right.
What are some of the significant changes you've seen either in the technology or in the community in that time?
Wow. that's a really tough question. I would say, you know, one of the more significant ones is very recent and is actually coming out in Cassandra 5.0, is the unified compaction strategy.
Okay.
Now, Cassandra is known for having, you know, like size-tiered compaction is kind of the default. Leveled compaction is an improvement on that if you have, like, a heavy amount of, like, read-based use cases. There's time window compaction if you have, like, a lot of, like, time series data or data that's, like, bucketed into different time windows. But really, unified compaction, it's built in such a way that kind of, I don't want to say eliminates the need for a lot of those, but it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it.
Okay.
It's certainly a much better default where, you know, today when you're building out a data model, as a developer, you do have to kind of put some thought into, hey, what's my access pattern? How does this application really work under the hood to determine what kind of compaction strategy do I need to implement here? Well, with unified compaction, I think it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it, where that would be a good default. And then if someone needs to make some adjustments, you know, they can certainly do so. But it's a much better starting point than what we have right now, actually, in size-tiered compaction as a default. I think that's a bit of a game changer, for sure.
And there's a vote going on right now for the 5.0 release. What's beyond that? Has there been some discussion of what's in the 6.0 release? Is that too far out to be thinking about?
That might be a little too far out. I know there's been some talk about what a 6.0 release could look like. It, you know, I think one thing that would be kind of safe to put in that would be Cassandra running on Java 21.
Sure.
For instance, I know that Ekaterina has done a lot of work around making sure that Cassandra runs on a recent JDK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with 4, she did a lot of the work that made it work on 11. And with 5, she did a lot of the work to A, make it run on 17, and then B, get 8 out of there completely, because yeah. we That's kind of that's kind of a dirty little secret in the Kasani community, is so many people are running on JDKs that we wish they weren't. So yeah, that's really helpful there. So yeah, Java 21 for sure, you know, looking at something like 6, but you know, from what we've been talking about with like a lot of the, you know, there were a couple of features that, I mean, we would have loved to have had them in 5.0, but they just couldn't get there. So they're talking about like a 5.1 release for transaction cluster metadata and ACID transactions, actually, the Accord protocol going in. And I think that's going to be an exciting change as well.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for making time for this.
Oh, of course.
Good luck in the upcoming release and in the next few years.
Yeah. Rich, thank you so much for having me on. This has been great.
All right. Thanks a lot.